Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. I hope that you're doing well. I've told you before, I'm kind of caught up in providing service for a loved one and or, you know, very close long-term friend. And I believe that, you know, as I engage other people and as I've engaged people that are doing things in charity or in charitable causes, from things ranging from like stopping and becoming an advocacy group for these kids trapped in sex slave trades and so forth, and working with other types of organizations, from veterans and so forth. It just seems to me that America has become indifferent and apathetic regarding the service of others because we have this huge welfare state. And when people feel the crunch that all this money is being taken out of their pocket for all the services of people, some people that don't deserve it, such as those who put themselves at risk in trying to cross our border without trying to follow the process, blatantly violating our Constitution and so forth, and they're getting treated better than veterans, and or because veterans are living out on the street. I mean, they're living in their filth. And these people that, again, these illegals that are breaking our laws, we have to accommodate them far better. Are you kidding me? We've really lost a moral compass, and I think the apathy and the problem with government welfare is the fact that it does create apathy, because a lot of people that I know that are involved in charitable organizations, I know a few of them, and they all kind of point to the fact that it's really hard to get people to get engaged, and I think they're just fighting that indifference that is caused from a state-ran welfare program. But with that, let me move forward with the fact that this show is also sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org as well as RepublicReview.org. This is the show that talks about the solutions. We talk about them directly. We talk about them passive-aggressively and or any way we possibly can. We try to take every angle possible to show you, you know, all these things that are wrong, and then just I try to remember to ask the questions, and sometimes I do not do a good job in asking you, what is it going to take for you to start getting involved? You know, we have mechanisms. You could start buying coffee. We have things that you can start doing, because the only solution is getting the government into compliance. The problems we're suffering from is non-compliance to the Constitution. So let's wake up, folks. I mean, people keep talking about, you know, America, wake up. I think Eric Bolling tried to coin that phrase. He used that for his one of his shows or what have you. Wake up, America. What's it going to take? Bottom line, we need your help, and we'll get into the groveling in just a minute. But the listen line that you can call in and just listen to this show is 605-562-4209 or 605-313-0599. Today, I hope to get caught up with you regarding some of this tyranny that we're living under and a lot of other things that are working to undermine us, trying to get kids to buy into enabling all of these bad things, all of these perversions and so forth. And so I think you're going to find today's broadcast either insightful, enlightening, or what have you. But we've definitely got a great show, a lot of content lined up for today. We'll probably go into tomorrow, maybe even Thursday. That is what it is. So let me just kind of go into the groveling just real quick. As you know, we could use your help. Everything that you do, if you buy my books, if you buy the coffee from Red State Coffee, or if you go and pay directly or contribute directly to the crowdfunding at GoFundMe, these are ways you can help us financially. We need your support. Now, whether you think we're worthy of that, that may be a different thing. I mean, my humor sometimes isn't worthy, and I believe some of my wit and my delivery isn't necessarily worthy, but I've been pretty open and forthright as far as telling you. I am not a polished, nor do I care to ever be that polished, you know, consummate entertainer that you may tune into on a regular basis. Those individuals are very good in getting you to focus on their view of the problem, and they never offer the only tangible solution. Oh, yeah, we've got to vote these guys out. That's not a solution, my friends. We have to have a very specific outcome, and then we have to get politicians actually committed to those outcomes. It's literally, it is not about just voting people out or voting in Republicans or I read a post on Facebook the other day that people are just really tired. And this one person says, you know, from now on, I'm going to make sure, you know, I know where these people stand. Well, that's not good enough. I'm telling you, once those people, even if they have a good stance, if they're not working on the solution, then they're a part of the problem. Even if they're voting the way you want them to vote, they are not promoting the solution. So in other words, they're just a part of the status quo of opposition. And the opposition doesn't cut it. I'm telling you, it does not cut it. We have had majorities who supposedly doing decent things, but not doing what was necessary. That's why we have to get politicians to sign pledges and hold them accountable and be willing to commit to resigning if they fail to do their job. And that job is to comply to the Constitution and obtain full compliance. We need other type of support. If you want to directly support us, just send us an email, info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. I would also tell you that you can you can get involved with going to constitutionclub.ning.com. Help Keith Broders in helping, you know, fight the 17th Amendment with rescinding it and so forth. Or you can get involved with the Our First Right. Go out and check those folks out and help support this concept of passing this Madison Amendment that was a part of the original Bill of Rights that never was passed. It can still be passed. I'm hoping that we actually see some of these states ratifying it. If we can get a state or two to ratify this amendment, it'll actually pop up in the mainstream media. People will actually talk about it. People go, oh, this is a bad thing because it's going to displace Congress. Yeah, it's going to displace them back to your house so that they're no longer in the mix in D.C. We actually might start depopulating D.C. Wouldn't that be a great thing? I think so. That's why I support that as well as Keith Broder's Constitution Club. So with that, let me just kind of dive forward a little bit further with the Constitution Day. Please keep us informed on what you're doing, what your plans are for Constitution Day. Even if it's something that you're just doing as a family or something, just let us know. That way we can start giving people some different ideas other than just reading the Constitution. What are you doing with your family? How are you getting your family to become more constitutionally aware? Thank you for tuning in, by the way. I told you I don't do this enough, but I do want to make sure I'm going to try to do this a little better more often for thanking you for tuning in. We also want to thank you for helping grow the program. We need your voice in helping this program grow because if everybody would commit to at least getting a couple people a week, hey, listen to this show, check this show out. That will actually help get the message. And as everybody else that comes on board starts doing the same thing, it becomes a snowball effect. And this could become a real dominating show. It's not like I get a penny for every person that comes on board and listens. I don't. I don't make a penny out of this. What happens is people start actually hearing a viable solution, and they get to hear the in an objective manner the different sides or the different views of this whole solution of getting compliance to the Constitution. I think that's what's important, sharing that message and getting other people involved. Well, as I always do, I looked and I checked the news, and there is no sign that the federal government is going to relinquish any of the powers they've usurped from the states. What that means is you and I are going to have to do this. We actually have to take a stand. We have to start demanding compliance. We have to start electing people that are committed and signing pledges to demand compliance. I'm not asking people to sign a pledge that they're going to make sure that money comes back to my business if I give you money or any quid pro quo. This is not that. This is a commitment for preserving the Constitution for our posterity. It's that simple. So with that, let me kind of dive into, and I'm going to give you an introduction of what we're going to be coming back from the break, because we're about a half a minute from the break. We're going to talk about GLAAD, and you probably heard that GLAAD does these surveys, and they got some bad news in the past couple of weeks with the recent survey that they have done, and they are getting... They're starting to use the rhetoric. They're starting to use the demagoguery. Oh, this is, you know, the world is coming to an end because the way they do their surveys, it's not looking good for GLAAD. And so I guess what that means is that we might have cause to be GLAAD, but do not rest on the laurels of even a blip in a long series of problems that we've been presented, and we'll get into the details of that when we get back. So please stay tuned. We'll be right back after these two messages. Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue.
All right. I want you to brace yourself for this because this could have some good indications. A new survey from GLAAD, because they do these regularly, suggests that young, straight kids, they call Americans, are now less comfortable around LGBT people compared to recent years. Surprisingly, these young Americans, 18 to 34 years old, were the only age bracket that reported feeling less comfortable, while attitudes among older non-LGBT Americans have remained basically constant over the past few years. Is that interesting? In other words, what the heck is going on, or what isn't working for them in the indoctrination centers? The results surprised leaders at GLAAD and the Harris Poll, which together have conducted the survey accelerating. So they've been working, and I've talked about this, they started working on promoting homosexuality in the late 60s with All in the Family. All in the Family with Archie Bunker tried to make it seem like, you know, the loggerhead had no intellect. It was just an old rhetoric, old way of thinking. And that's why they actually use in their argument, well, you anti, you know, this homophobe or however they try to assault you and say, you know, you've just got old way thinking. Actually, no. The way of thinking of putting aside sexual gratification and carnal pursuits and those types of things is the new age of enlightenment. The debasement, you know, was a long, long time ago, and we became enlightened in putting aside those types of pursuits. We believed in discipline in society and ensuring that we maintained a level of focus of productivity and the betterment for all, not just the, you know, the pursuit of happiness or immediate gratification. So anyway, the Harris poll, which again, they've conducted these surveys and they've been trying their best to accelerate tolerance, not just tolerance, but possibly even the concept of, you know, maybe you should be dabbling it too. What are you missing out, huh? Anyway, they call it the red tea detox, which is interesting. We count on the narrative that young people are more progressive and tolerant, said John Gerzima, the CEO of the Harris Poll, who told this to, I think it was USA Today. These numbers are very alarming and signal a looming social crisis. These numbers are very alarming and signal a looming crisis in discrimination. So you're discriminating somebody if you tell them what they're participating in is a sin. This is a perversion of humanity. It's very inhumane that you're doing these things. Really? That's discrimination. In other words, you can't have an open dialogue. It's almost like talking to another intolerant religion that we've been talking about for the past couple of days. There is no open door for any alternative thought, thinking, or what have you. We can't use the word enlightenment and the pursuit of a better society by applying discipline and putting aside our, you know, our carnal desires and or what have you. But what they're trying to do is they're trying to get your kids and everybody so focused on their sexuality and the gratifications that they need and validations in sex. I mean, there's people that are actually making a living because they're perverts. A good example of that is these drag queens that are going to public libraries reading. I wouldn't doubt that they're actually being compensated by some really subversive group in paying for that. The real problem that we're dealing with, and I've said this before, because it all points back to the source of the problem, our education system. Our education system is glorifying these types of perversions. It's glorifying the pursuit of the immediate gratification. It is glorifying the engagement in addictive behavior. And the entertainment industry is equally culpable, and they've been working hand in hand in trying to debase our society. I'll give you a great example. If you've never watched or understood what Lady Gaga was doing, she was trying to get little kids to come to her concerts as like orgies and getting off and feeling good about themselves and about their perversions. And she's not the only one. If you look at the entertainment system, I mean, I grew up in a time when music actually had some substance. It had, you know, either some political value or some moral value. I never got into the, you know, the drinking, you know, songs. I never got into those, you know, headbanging songs that had really no substance. I mean, maybe it's because of my classical orientation. I liked classical music. I love classical music today. I love, you know, the true talent that has been developed by a person, or music that exploits those talents, like opera. I mean, if you want to talk about good singers, go to an opera. We talk about pop singers as great singers. Are you kidding me? They have no discipline. Opera singers, you know, they work their voice and they exploit their talent. And I don't mean in a bad way. It just shows off how talented they are with the range of notes and breathing control. I mean, anyway, I digress. The whole point is that we have, you know, an entertainment industry, the education system, mainstream news media. We have all of these things working together in trying to pollute and pervert the minds of our kids. And here's one little glimmer of hope that they're not finding in the newer generation of 18 to 35 acceptance of the homosexuals and perverts and so forth. Is that a bad thing? We shouldn't have to accept. We may have to tolerate, but we should not have to accept. And as a matter of fact, again, I think that, you know, the Christian view is love the sinner, hate the sin. And that's the position we all should be taking. That's what should be taught in school. Hate the sin. Because when we start looking at people, and we're going to talk about a sinner in either today or tomorrow, about what they did and the punishment, and I'm going, you got to be kidding me. What this person did, they should have been punished with much more severe degree than what they got. Anyway, if you haven't heard, and this is big, Mexico has deployed over 15,000, or they say almost 15,000 troops to the U.S.-Mexican border. According to the country's Secretary of Defense, Luis Sandoval, Mexico has deployed almost 15,000 troops to the border, and to me, that's a huge jump. I mean, it looks like Trump playing hardball is actually the way to go. If you want to protect our nation, if you want to engage in some level of security, we have to actually demand that other countries, you know, support what we want and or support, you know, our laws and those types. It's not like we try to undermine Mexico. Are you kidding me? We really don't try to undermine other countries. Now, we've had in the past played for business purposes of what have you, and it's all been wrong in the Middle East, working with OPEC and all of these other countries. We need to stop doing those types of things. I also want to say this, because this has still been churning since that one 9/11 meeting that they had when Stewart, the not funny comedian. I've never thought the guy was funny, but apparently he's labeled as a comedian, and he's become a real activist for the 9/11 fund, or, you know, the support fund for these people that have been injured. To me, I think it is a complete slap in the face to the veterans who go to war, who actually face even greater dangers and so forth than these first responders. I think that everybody that has served their nation, that gets harmed because of exposure or what have you, should be in the exact same system. I'm going to tell you, if you put these folks into the VA and they start complaining, hey, then maybe we'll actually start treating those veterans a little bit better. Nobody should be above the basic treatment the veterans are getting. These guys put their lives on the line in such a humble fashion that it makes everybody else look, you know, like, yeah, that was nice, detective, that you went down there and you worked hard and you sacrificed, and that's nice. But it's not the same thing as really going and donning that uniform and actually taking a bullet for your fellow, you know, soldiers, diving on a grenade. I mean, it's a lot different being in the actual hostile fire and we do not respect and give, I think, the appropriate respect for the veterans that they should be getting, especially when you start looking at the contracts of how we're supposed to be treated. I mean, you're promised, you know, if you do your 20 years, I was promised medical and dental care for free medical and dental for life. Ask me how much money I spent out of my pocket for my medical and dental. It's a sham, and it's a travesty. And fortunately, it's not hurting me. I mean, it does. You know, obviously, I'm taking money that we could be using for something else. But the fact of the matter is, there are people, there are young men who did not have such a marketable or a great opportunity in leaving the military to be able to do other things where they've been scarred for life and they can't do any better. And this is a travesty, my friends. We'll be right back after this. Thank you so much. The reason progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost every billionaire in the world is funding a vast array of different groups, and these groups' efforts are to undermine our republic and our constitution. If you don't believe me, just Google donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to successfully combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, state lands, housing, labor, and many other roles, responsibilities and powers that belong to the states, is by you and I and local businesses getting involved in supporting political programs and efforts based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review. So please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the contribution page, and you can become a listed supporter of liberty. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
Okay, so yesterday when we were ending, I was talking about some real key issues that are contributing to what I consider a monumental constitutional crisis. One of these issues, and I've talked about this before, is the Electoral College. If you go online and you look at the website that is trying to promote the popular vote concept, they lie, because they claim that the winner takes all in states has occurred as late as 1789. That is incorrect. Now, winners may have taken all because that's how it was, because when Washington ran, it was almost unanimous in voting for Washington. And one could construe that, oh, well, this state, you know, every single elector won that. There is no evidence that an elector was elected by the voters, by the electorate, and then they were chosen, then another elector was chosen to work and or vote for someone else. No, That was not happening. And as a matter of fact, I want to give you a little lecture on republicanism. The whole reason we fought the Civil War, or not the Civil War, the Revolutionary War, technically it was a Civil War, by the way, because we were actually fighting for independence and taking control of our own government. So, anyway, the Revolutionary War was based on what? No taxation without representation. We, the people, had to have representation. And it was repugnant to think that you would vote for somebody and didn't matter who won the vote in your district, in your congressional district or what have you, when you were voting for representation, you were given somebody else because the policy was that the winner takes all. It is just as repugnant in voting for your congressional representative and then having the state legislators have a policy that says, we're going to create a winner-takes-all. So in other words, if the Democrats win the majority of the seats for the legislature, then we're going to seat all the Democrats and we're going to disregard the votes in those congressional districts. It is that it is that corrupt. It is that repugnant. It is that repulsive of a concept and an idea of republicanism and representative government. They would never dare do that. And so they started selling this concept for political purposes and what have you. And I don't see any, there's just these assertions that, oh, they did it then and they've been doing it. And we've been, this concept of a popular vote has been around since the very beginning. I am here to tell you that the framers were very meticulous in ensuring the population and, you know, majorities and democracies were kept in check by the minorities. And this idea of taking the electoral college vote for a party purpose, as they've been doing, so because you live in a state that's blue, but you live in a congressional district that's solid red, and you constantly vote for that red representative, in the election of the president, your elector is being stolen from you because the winner takes all concept. That's not in the Constitution. And guess what? Mr. Ratification Debates himself went through the ratification debates to look at how they discussed the Electoral College. Nowhere was there any allowance that the vote of the people, the choice of the people, would be able to be thwarted or stolen by the state legislators in pandering to the parties. So what I'm telling you, my friends, is that we've been duped, we've been hoodwinked, and we've been lied. And this whole concept of this popular vote is a huge problem. It is going to be the beam that is going to, you know, probably impale us, and it will have a devastating effect. The other issue that is a constitutional crisis is the concept of entering into compacts. Because a part of this whole electoral college thing, there are states that are entering into a compact to say, once we have enough states, we will throw our electoral college towards the popular vote. That, my friends, is a violation of Article 1, Section 10, Subsection 1. States are not allowed to enter into any compact with fellow states or with foreign entities. And on the flip side of this, these states, like what's going on in Oregon, those states are signing up. Washington did this, California did this, and other progressive blue states are signing up into the agreement with the Paris Agreement. That is a violation of the Constitution. Surrendering their citizens to the regulations of some compact that is a foreign entity type of compact, and they are putting their constituents and their entire state economy in peril. And I can't believe that they're getting away with this. This is a blatant violation of, again, Article 1, Section 10, Subsection 1. These three things need to be stopped. And the fourth and final issue, and I've talked about this, is the violation of Article 4, Section 4, where we've got states that are giving aid and comfort to illegal aliens. They're supporting this rebellious behavior. That's exactly what it is. And not on top of that, these folks are being given driver's license and access to vote, and then they can start moving as a parasite into your state and demand to be able to vote and have a driver's license in your state. Are you kidding me? What has to happen is, with regarding these four issues, we need a real leader at the state level. We're trying to get Wyoming, South Dakota, we're trying to get somebody to at least lead the charge in going to the Department of Justice and in going to the federal court systems and saying, hey, we want to start charging these jerks with treason because they're violating Article 4 as well as federal law. And then demand the Section 3 of the 14th Amendment punishment that these public officials be removed from office permanently. We need to start pressing, and we need to start pressing very, very hard on these issues. Because if we don't, we're at the precipice, folks. We're going to be falling off this cliff if we don't actually start clawing our way back away from this cliff. And this is the only way we can do it as an immediate action. These things have to be done because it's going to take Republic Review a couple of years as we start working through the audit and everything else. It will take a little time. We don't have to wait. And as a matter of fact, I'm hoping that some politicians actually see the real opportunity of how they can charge forward and be positioned in the 2024 election as possibly a front runner. Excuse me, in the nomination for the Republican ticket. Now, I also want to go through this huge misnomer. I've got this article that's come out, and I'm still waiting for the edit to come back. But there's this concept of nullification, and there's people that are actually, because I read an article in the National Review by the John Birch Society, that states are actually successfully nullifying unconstitutional laws, and they're pointing to marijuana as one of those things, as a nullification of federal law and tyranny. If that was the case, then they would have nullified all laws that are regarding drugs, drug use, drug enforcement, and so forth, instead of just nullifying marijuana. And actually, this is completely misrepresenting the whole concept of nullification, or the alleged concept that they're trying to sell you, that Madison and Jefferson were really trying to just nullify the laws. And I've said this before. If Madison and Jefferson's intent was strictly to nullify, then they were successful and they needed to press further no more. What did they do? They lamented because they actually pursued the other states to join them in engaging the federal government and rebuking them. They actually called for committees of correspondence telling them that they needed to put forth the necessary measures in getting the federal government back into that framework and cooperating directly with these states. They lamented the fact that they did not cooperate. They didn't do what they were. So it wasn't about the state nullification. They were successful at that. That wasn't what they were doing. As a matter of fact, the concept of nullification and nullifying laws it was status quo back then. If you created a law that wasn't based on the actual laws or the Constitution or so forth, they were nullified. All you had to do was identify how was the violation, and it just like that, it was nullified. It was removed from the books. It was stricken. So what they were doing was not nullification. What they were doing was actually trying to enforce the contract and getting the states to do their job. That whole concept is Republic Review. What really happened and what's happening today with this marijuana legalization has nothing to do with nullification, and it has everything to do with a significant cultural shift where people are becoming, yeah, let's go ahead and vote it legal. Yeah, we're going to legalize it. And I'm telling you, no leaders taking a constitutional position on this. And so what we have to do is we have to get leaders in your states, which are your state legislators, we got to get them to actually start leading on constitutional positions just so that we can actually start demanding compliance to our Constitution, getting the federal government out of all the things that it has no business meddling with, according to George Nicholas of the Virginia ratification debate. So we are going into a break. I've got some more good meat nuggets. We're going to come back and we'll be right back after these two messages. Thank you so much. Are you a patriotic proprietor of a business that is looking to get exposure on a fast-growing program? How would you like to get exposure on the only program on the air that provides an actual constitutional solution to all the federal government overreach and encroachments? If you understand the importance of educating the electorate, we would love to work with you in growing your business and revenues while you support the airing of our content on this station. Your support goes to growing the reach of this show and does not pay for elaborate salaries or highfalutin lifestyles. The show is growing fast, and we're also planning on airing the content about Republic Review on a video medium soon. If you'd like to be a part of history and the growth of the most relevant and result-oriented show on the air anywhere in the world, then just email me at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can lock in exceptional pricing and great advertising opportunities. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255. So if you want to get involved in helping, you know, in dealing with this constitutional crisis, start appealing to red state governors and attorney generals and asking them to please protect the rest of America. Please be, you know, do their job and stand up in the name of the Constitution and help us all. Come on, help. You took an oath. Why aren't you doing something? You can actually do something. Let me tell you this, and you can use this verbiage. This, what is going on regarding this Electoral College, that is complete defiance of the Constitution. What is going on with these Paris Accords and climate treaties that these other states are doing, that is a complete violation of the Constitution. The same thing with this illegal immigration. These are violations, and these are outright rebellious behaviors by political officials who have failed to support the Constitution and who have actually, if you ask me, they're giving aid and comfort to the enemies of the Constitution and are guilty under Section 3 of the 14th Amendment. We have to start making these appeals and start pointing out to these political leaders that there's actually teeth in the Constitution. We do not have to allow this form of rebellion. There was never, never this thought. And as a matter of fact, I can point out, if you just look for rebellion, riot, and those types of things, there was no allowance for the people of America to just outright protest out in the streets. We were a civil society. That was absolutely unacceptable. And the only places where they were protesting and the only places where they were addressing their grievances was at the seats of government, like the county, the county's capital, the sheriff, and what have you. They were in the offices demanding addressment of their grievances. And so, come on, folks, let's start getting involved and let's start demanding from these attorney generals of these states as well as the governors in these states. Politicians today are literally lacking the backbone to do their job. And I'll even just throw this out here. Do not worry and do not take any time sending any appeal to Texas Governor Abbott. He's not a staunch stalwart for individual liberty. He was just supported, I believe, and signed into law this concept of regulating hate speech. Are you kidding me? He is not a supporter of individual liberty. Now, what we need is we need this immediate action so that the states actually start defending themselves. And I want to use this to help us, propel this concept of initiating republic review. G. Edward Griffin points out that the illegals are becoming eligible for voting, and they have been voting in Nevada, in Washington State, in California, and even in the Carolinas, because these dark blue cities in the Carolinas, they've been undermining the system by allowing and giving licenses because that's, how they want to do it there. And that's why I've been saying you cannot separate ideologies from an individual. So individuals sitting in government seats, whether it's the county clerk or whether it's somebody at the DMV, they're all doing everything they possibly can to promote their, ideological agenda, whether it is, supporting a homosexual marriage or whether it's supporting illegals and giving them IDs and so forth so that they can actually, get engaged in our electoral process and start voting for people that are going to give them handouts. That is also repugnant to a constitutional republic. There are no powers delegated for them to do this, and this is tyranny that we're living under, my friends. G. Edward Griffin also points out this whole concept of Medicare for all. Remember, I told you that we're being overran and overcome by these concepts of, if you want to call it, the welfare state and entitlement, and that's why we've become more and more apathetic. America is giving less. And people are getting stretched. Their pockets aren't deep anymore. When we start having natural disasters, it's one thing for people to get out and help, pick things up and what have you. But to follow up with the financial support that may be needed, it's not there anymore. I'm just telling you that we're getting lower and lower on resources and people that have resources. There's far less people that are, contributing and or, not on the take of the entitlement so that there's far less people that can actually reach into their pockets. So anyway, and I don't want to start, talking about the rich are getting richer and the poor are getting poorer. I don't buy into that. I buy into more and more people are surrendering to entitlements because you just have to work too hard to get ahead. It's just so much easier to game the system. Why work hard when you can just game it, right? J. Edward Griffin also points out that the Koch brothers are not real conservatives. These guys are nefarious and they play both sides of the fence. They are supporting the open borders issue. I'm telling you, once you start making that kind of money, you have a high susceptibility of just becoming polluted and corrupt in trying to use your money to try to create a better outcome for you and your ilk. And so this is only being proven by Soros, Gates, Zuckerberg, or whatever you want to call him. I thought it started with an F, but I guess I'm wrong there. But nevertheless, all these people that make that type of obscene amounts of money are those people that are willing to use their money for their ideological purposes to make their life a little better and to take it from you. They don't care. They really don't care. Now, I'm not sure if you've heard, but there's been a huge move, and this has been in the news a lot, and it started in Houston, where at least it hit the national, spotlight, where the public libraries were having homosexual, perverts, whatever you want to call them, transvestites, drag queens, whatever, reading stories to little children. Now, I'm here to tell you that in the old days, if you were a parent and you took your child into an environment where there was that type of sexual deviancy and perversion, you probably would have lost your child to Child Protective Services for child recklessness and endangerment. These are types of things that children should not be exposed to. They shouldn't. Not at all. You know, as I've told people, as I've grown older and wiser, I have come to the conclusion that the last thing kids need is sex education. It's one thing to have health and understanding germs and good hygiene and those types of things, but they don't need to learn anything about sex. The one thing that they can naturally figure out that we'll be able to continue to perpetuate the species is the sex part. I think that that is the easiest thing that is obtained or worked out in a marriage or when two people get together. I think they can figure it out pretty quickly. I don't think we need education involved in that process because then they start including all this other crap, you know, like bestiality and those types of things. And I'm here to tell you that that is just repugnant. It has no place in our education system. Our education system should be focused on educating our children in preparing them to become contributors to society, not, you know, become permanent saps or permanent leeches on society. So anyway, back to this thought. G. Edward Griffin points out that in Spokane, Washington, a Baptist pastor, Afson Agden, and I probably mispronounced it, was arrested and jailed after refusing to move across the street from the public library while exercising his right of free speech to a drag queen story hour at a public library. Now, G. Edward Griffin allegedly, because he got this information probably from Reuters or someone, they stated that there were about 400 supporters of the drag queens were permitted to demonstrate right there next to the library, and an estimated 200 concerned citizens against the drag queens who were told to protest across the street. As far as I'm concerned, just as I started off saying, we should not be allowing protests, period. Where the protests need to be occurring is down at the city hall. We need to start bogging and bottling up our elected officials because you know what? As long as you're out over there at the library, they're not being bothered one bit by what's going on. They're not being impacted. You want to start packing City Hall with hundreds and hundreds of people and demanding the city council start, telling you why you're allowing these things to happen. You know, why you're, because this is tantamount to this concept of separation of church and state. What they are doing is they are promoting as a government these types of perversions of sexual orientation. And they shouldn't be doing it. To me, this is secularism. This is godlessness. And it's tantamount to the fact that the government has, right under our nose, established a godless church to oppress the people. And so that's why we really need to be focused in protesting at City Hall, at the sheriff's office. We have no business protesting out in the middle of the street in affecting the flow of commerce and afflicting possible harm to the good citizens in that area and trying to conduct business and so forth. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. It's time to start committing, folks. Let's get active. Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcasts and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Mobiusstrip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Mobiusstrip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you.